Live from the greatest city, in the greatest state, in the greatest country, on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 173 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. In today's first hour, at 10:50, did LeBron just change everybody's mind about the direction of the Cavs this season? A beatdown of the Celtics in Boston will have that effect. At 10:30, BK took a trip to Houston, and I took his place on Dirty Sixth. We recap our weekends. And in mere minutes, Texas basketball is broken. What in the world happened at TCU on Saturday, and can they right the ship with a quick turnaround tonight against Baylor? I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the Horns fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
Living the dream.
And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn. He's fluent in English and Australian, Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
I'll be fat at some point. I don't think I'll be gay at some point, but I guess things change every once in a while.
No yelling on the bus!
What's happening, BK? How we feeling today?
Well, Wags needs to have better dreams. That's my initial thought on this deal. Living the dream right now, producing a midday show with us two knuckleheads.
He's about 6 months into this process right now. I imagine that the reality of this industry will have beaten him down in another 6 months.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with people. I'm happy.
That's true.
Yeah,
you were a government guy once, right? Wasn't that your initial game plan? Jeez.
Yeah.
Talk about a job that beats you down. I couldn't imagine doing something like that. No, man, we're chilling. We're doing all right.
Feeling better?
Getting there, man. Still got the crud, man. Yeah. I can't get rid of it, right? I slept a lot last night. I did a lot of driving to and from Houston, Galveston, back to Austin. And I was kind of hoping it'd go away, but right as I
there we go. Well, my three-year-old is still dealing with it as well. I figured this is something that was going to at least linger for another week or two.
Jeez, man. I'm dying. I'm still dying. I mean, I feel much better. My energy level's there. I feel like I sound better, but I can't stop coughing.
There we are. And, yeah, so the three-year-old also dealing with similar issues. Fortunately, it hasn't struck me just yet, nor has it struck Wags. But it is something that you're obviously struggling with. And this is what happens when you try and live the life of a truck driver. You're driving all over the place. You're sleeping in all sorts of random places. You're making these pit stops at rest areas along the highway. You're eating nothing but fast food. You're sleeping at most 4 to 5 hours a night. You're just spreading yourself too thin right now. You're not a truck driver. You're you. You're
this is
about
terrible,
to be 24
man.
Years old, and you're sick like somebody who's on the road 18 hours a day.
I'm sorry. This is horrible. Horrible to listen to, I'm sure. This is the worst it's been. Right, as the show starts, right? Good timing to have just a mad cough attack. And I can't even respond to your trash talk because I can't stop coughing for 10 seconds.
It sounds like you're struggling right now as you speak.
Oh, my God. I don't live the life of a truck driver, man. I live a healthy life.
No, do you? Do you? Listen to this,
very healthy. Man, you guys might have to do the show without me today. I don't know what's going on.
Well, fortunately, we have lots of content today between... Jeez. LeBron and the Cavs just smashing the Celtics last night. Johnny Manziel coming out to admit that not only has he been
out?
Sober for a couple of years, no, he's still a straight guy, at least based on his fiance situation.
Yeah, she's pretty hot, man. I can't knock that. He found a good one.
Very attractive, but he came out and admitted some things. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And, yeah, it was just a very active weekend in sports overall, despite the fact that this is the first weekend of the new year without any sort of football.
Yeah.
Not even college or professional all-star games, you know?
No Pro Bowl, no Senior Bowl, no nothing. It was weird, man. It's just weird. I mean, it's been so much of our lives, right? Every Saturday, every Sunday. Like, in the fall, I don't do anything on weekends. I just don't, right? It's just people don't even ask me to hang out or do stuff until nighttime because they know my answer is going to be, no, man, I'm watching the games. Unless we're going to a sports bar to watch the games or I'm coming to your place to watch football, then I'm not going anywhere. And now it's like, well, I got two more days back in my life every week. So my schedule opens up a whole lot more. And once baseball starts, I generally spend a lot of time watching baseball on Saturday and Sunday as well. But no, nothing like football, man. Everybody's schedule opens up a ton. You got more time to hang out with the wife, the girlfriend, the kids, whatever you got cooking, you can start to get your life back on track now that football's done.
Well, and I can't speak for you because you were in Houston, but the weather here in Austin was conducive to staying inside watching television all weekend, too. And what better to do that with sports-wise than with football? So I guess it was fitting that we did not have that this weekend, so we had to turn to college basketball, pro basketball, maybe the Olympics for some people, or some Netflix and chill action.
No problem with that, ever. I mean, you can get away with doing that during football season. If it's got to be done, it's got to be done.
Okay.
Now, I'm not like Bucky. I don't agree with during the Super Bowl. That's when you make your deviled eggs. That's just ridiculous. It's the last football game of the year. You can't wait. You've got like 200 days that are about to come without football. Can't you come then if you're catching the drift of what I'm saying there? Whoa. Can't you figure it out?
Yeah, you weren't quite covert about what you just said.
No,
right
I meant
there.
Come over to the girls' place.
Oh, okay.
Then like, you got 200 days to figure it out. Can't you just wait until the Super Bowl's done? Bucky missed the comeback last year.
I totally agree with
that. It's terrible, man.
Is Pac-12 After Dark and chill, is that a thing?
God, I don't know, man.
It should be, though,
you're
right?
Just trying to tell your girl why Toby Gerhart should have won the Heisman a few years ago while watching Stanford take on Cal. That should be a thing, man.
Yeah.
Educate your significant others. It's Valentine's Day coming up on Wednesday, too. Are you, now you hate birthdays.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a huge birthday guy in general. I know you're an anniversary guy. I mean, you took your wife out to San Francisco this year for the anniversary deal. So what about Valentine's Day? Are you one of those guys who... I mean, it's never the guy's doing, right? It's always, it depends on your woman. If your woman cares about it, you have to do stuff. If not, then you're kind of off the hook, and you're great, you're lucky. What about you, man? How's the Elling household go with Valentine's Day?
Fortunately, Justine is cool with the alternate Valentine's Day that I choose to celebrate, and I call it Schmalentine's Day. It's just a random day during the year, not February 14th, that we go out and have ourselves a good time without the kids.
So it's just a random day. Like, you won't do anything special on Wednesday. It'll just be go to work, go home, and that's it?
Well, I will say that because Viv is now 3 and she is grasping holidays just a little bit better, we are forced to do the Valentine's for the class. And as a byproduct, I'm sure I'll have to get her a Valentine's as well.
Yeah, one for each kid in the classroom. You can't leave one kid out.
But we do have one thing special that's happening this Wednesday, actually.
And?
The wife is taking a pregnancy test.
Whoa! Somebody knocking
nice. Yeah, I've been knocking some boots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, keep us posted on that. You're going for number 3?
I will.
Going for the trifecta. You're just going to walk around for the next 9 months if she's pregnant, like doing the 3 goggles, like the snorting the 3, the holster guns, the bow and arrow celebration. Is that about to be you for 9 months?
The Dirk shocker.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, probably. Here's the problem, though, is that we're taking the pregnancy test on Wednesday. You're really not supposed to tell people that you're pregnant for the first 12 weeks or so, and this would be pretty early in the process. So I'm either going to have a lot of great material for the next 9 months in terms of having to deal with the hormonal issues and the...
Is that great material?
No, probably not, actually. Or a really sad story to tell in like 2 to 3 months if we end up miscarrying or losing the baby.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well,
hopefully that doesn't happen. Now, are you hopeful? Are you guys looking for number 3? It sounds like you said you've been knocking some boots a little bit. You're trying to do something.
We pulled the goalie, and we're taking
6-on-5.
We're taking shots from the other red line, and one may have actually ended up in the goal.
There you go.
So we'll see.
Well, good luck, then.
And I'm not going to say worse because I have no problem if we have number 3, but this is either going to happen now or sometime in April. I'm getting the snip.
Yeah, you're running out of time here.
Yeah,
2 months.
And so the way we rationalize is neither of us is opposed to it, so we're just going to roll the dice right now. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, well, we were meant to have 2. And that's
there you
that.
Go. How about that? What about you, Wags? Valentine's Day, man. You does the missus make you celebrate on Wednesday?
Not at all. This was actually one of the stipulations for getting married. She duped me pretty much because she said, "Hey, we're not doing this Hallmark stuff."
Like, nice.
Don't give me a card. Don't give me flowers.
About
Let's
that.
Save our money.
I'm with that mindset.
A lot of jealous dudes out there driving around Austin, Texas right now.
Now for you, and I recall this from my single days, Valentine's Day can be a very good day for a single guy.
Yeah, I've had some success on V-Day in the past.
Do you plan on going out?
I don't know, man. It is a Wednesday. And also, we'll talk about this more in the 11 o'clock hour,
boy.
But I'm getting the spray tan today. So I'm not sure. Like, when I had the mustache for November, that was a personal choice, right? Trying to raise awareness and money for men's health issues. But my confidence, it slacked a little bit because I look pretty damn terrible.
Even though you had the easy hey, it's Movember, I'm growing a mustache for the sake of men's health.
I was just off my game. I mean, I was on a 1 month cold streak. It took me 3 months to admit that, but sometimes you got to tell the truth to the people out there. I was off for a month. Like my last action was on October 31st, and then on I think December 2nd, we were back at it. So it's good news. Yes, sir.
Hey,
why are you raising your hand? You can talk.
This,
it's your damn show.
It's your all show.
Is this class?
I'm here. I'm. You guys carry me.
May I use the bathroom?
May
I? Ask one of those.
Por favor.
Oh my God, y'all have teachers like that. You say, "Can I use the bathroom?"
And she would correct you.
It's like, I don't know. Can you?
Yes.
Yeah, I've had.
I don't know. You're the damn teacher. You tell me. It's not my rule.
With
if it was
this,
my rule, I'd be in the bathroom right now. Shut up.
With this spray tan, can you at least leave just a little thin line of where the white's going, just like where the pale skin's going to be, just so we can see?
It'll be underneath.
Well, he's going to have...
be wearing, like, shorts.
Yeah.
Like,
shorts.
I want him to look like George Hamilton right here, and then BK right here.
Dude, it's gonna
like
be
right
bad.
At the hairline, huh?
It's going to be bad, man. That's happening today after the show. We'll Facebook Live it, but according to some of the women in our sales department who have done spray tans before, it's not going to look as bad as it will right when I get out of the machine.
Well, you're worried about blackface.
Yeah. I don't want to be walking around just worried that I'm dressed up in blackface, man. Like, that's not acceptable. I get that it's Black History Month, but you still can't do that.
My guess is it'll look a little bit more like McNugget face.
Chicken McNugget?
Yeah.
One of those orange. I mean, it's got to be bad, right? It's a bet payoff. I'm not copping out of this.
No.
And our girl Amanda back there, she bought the darkest solution you can find. So it's not going to be good. I don't know how long this is going to last. That's the issue. Like, our bet was 1 week, but it sounds like this stuff just naturally comes off with time. So it could be 3 days. It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be longer. I don't know.
If you end up going soul, man, we're going to have to change that. Because I don't want you getting in trouble,
man,
for being too dark a shade of orange.
Yeah, so
who was
we'll
in that movie? Who was the... Was that C. Thomas Howell?
C. Thomas Howell, yeah.
Yes.
C. Thomas Howell. So it's interesting because I'm still debating going to Norman this weekend for the Texas OU rematch on the hardwood.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe like dressed up like I'm wearing the UT Road uniforms, man. My whole body will just be burnt orange.
Yeah, just take your shirt off during the game. You're representing the colors.
No kidding. Now, I'm not going to lie. What happens tonight is determining the decision. Like, I'm still not 100% sold, but I could tell you if Texas loses tonight, I'm not going to waste my time. And sorry if you think that's bandwagoning, but it's going to the city of Norman, Oklahoma, voluntarily. If I think Texas has no chance of winning, which if they lose to Baylor tonight, they won't have a chance of beating OU on the road, I'm not going to waste my time going to that city for a full weekend.
Well, I feel like it's a win-win for this show regardless. Either you go to Norman, that burnt orange, just skin tone-wise, or you're trying to make plays on Dirty Six.
Yeah, I won't be in hiding.
Fake tan.
I won't be in hiding. I'm either going out in Austin or going out in Norman trying to make the play.
Now, based on the conversation we had on Friday about Texas TCU, they met on Saturday in Fort Worth. If I had come in here today and read the stats off that I am about to read just now, tell me what you thought the outcome would have been just in terms of the overall final score. Texas shoots 52% from the field, 50% from three-point land, 10 of 20, and they have an assist-to-turnover ratio of 18 to 11.
Yeah, it would have felt pretty good. Now, you tell me they're playing TCU, and I would be a little hesitant because TCU is one of the best offensive teams in the country. And if you look at those stats in the Big 12, you'll find the Horned Frogs near the top, just every single one of the offensive categories. So I still would have had some doubt, but no, I probably would have been pretty confident saying, yeah, Texas, nice. They went up to Fort Worth. They got back on track. The defense traveled, so they did enough to stop Jamie Dixon and company on offense, and they left with a 7-10 point victory. Nice.
Unfortunately, the flip side of those statistics is that TCU shot 55% from the field. They were also 10 of 20 from three-point land, had a 23-6 assist-to-turnover ratio, and a rebounding advantage of 33-22, including 11-5 on the offensive glass. And because of that, the Horned Frogs end up with an 87-71 win over the Longhorns. Both teams now tied in the conference standings at 5-7. That's good for a sixth place tie, which is second to last right now in the conference, along with Baylor, I believe, Oklahoma State, or is it Kansas State that's also in those standings? One of those two teams also at 5-7 right now. And unfortunately, this is a Texas team whose chances looked pretty good heading into last week of not just getting into the tournament, but receiving a seed that ended up in the upper half, one of the top eight seeds. Now, not only is that in jeopardy, their spot in the tournament is probably in jeopardy, especially when you consider what their conference schedule looks like down the stretch.
For you bracketologists out there, and you guys know I'm a huge college basketball nut, so this time of year I'm checking Joe Lenardi, ESPN bracketologist, Jerry Palm, I mean all these websites just about every day. The most recent Lenardi bracketology came out this morning, and he has Texas as a 10 seed. Now, a week ago, last Monday, the Longhorns were an 8 seed, so they are falling. Now, they are not in the last four buys or last four in category. So right now, he still has Texas, I don't want to say safely in, but he has Texas in the NCAA tournament if the season ended today.
Yeah, 10 seed is not safely.
That changes with a loss tonight. If Texas loses at home to Baylor, which would mean Baylor swept the season series against the Longhorns, Texas would have lost three in a row and would have then fallen to 5-8 in Big 12 play. If Texas loses tonight, you go with if the season ended tomorrow, Texas would be out of the Big Dance, if I had to put a prediction on it.
Yep.
We said before conference play began, 9-9 will safely get Texas into the league. They can go 8-10. And still find their way into the Big Dance, and I still believe that, considering how deep this league is, and you know, there's just not that many great teams across the country. And I think the Big 12, bubble-wise, is going to look stronger than a lot of the other leagues because of how well this conference did in non-con play, ignoring the Big 12 SEC Challenge. But, man, with the rest of the Longhorn schedule, I mean, after tonight, you go to Norman, then you go to the Octagon of Doom at K-State. Ugh. Of course, K-State just came into Austin and beat Texas. I don't know how good you can feel about that. Home against Oklahoma State, which you lost to them in Stillwater, but you'd like to feel good about that one, at Kansas, and then West Virginia to wrap up the season. So the Longhorns need to find three wins out of their last six games. They need to if they want to feel safe about the tournament. And Trey, where we're looking right now, I don't know if I can predict that. Like I can't sit here and say at Oklahoma, at Kansas, home against West Virginia. Like, I can't feel good about picking any of those. So then you've got Baylor at home. Baylor's a matchup problem against Texas. Scott Drew is 5-1 against Shaka Smart, and Shaka's been the coach here. And then at K-State, when we just saw what the Purple Cats did here in Austin, Texas last week, like, I just don't feel confident. If you had asked me right now, it's going to be one of those things where come Big 12 tournament time, the week of Selection Sunday, Texas might have to win a game or two if they want to find themselves in the dance. We talked about it last week. This is a three-game stretch for the Longhorns following that win over Oklahoma. This is three games where we're going to learn a lot about Texas. Trey, I said, look, if they go 3-0, this team is a lock into the tournament and maybe a team that could win a game, perhaps two, in the Big Dance. If they go 2-1, okay, you still feel good about them making the tournament. We're in wait-and-see mode. If they go 1-2 and 0-3, you're talking about maybe being on the outside looking in. And the best the Longhorns can do is go 1-2 if they beat Baylor tonight. So it fell off the rails pretty quick. It looked like this team had started to put stuff together after that win over Oklahoma and almost beating Texas Tech in Lubbock. Now, just 7 days later, the wheels have kind of fallen off this train.
The problem that Texas is running into in this conference is that they have to deal with strong point guard play night in and night out. And there are some exceptions. Trae Young is an enigma as a basketball player. Sure, he's a point guard and he is the playmaker, but he's also somebody who jacks a lot of stupid shots as well. But when you see this team go up against strong point guard play and some level of discipline on either end of the floor, it is causing Texas problems right now. Part of that is Matt Coleman seems to have run into a freshman wall. Kerwin Roach can pick up the slack to a degree, but he was not going to maintain the level of play that he was at after coming off of that wrist injury. And you saw it again on Saturday with Alex Robinson. Look, his line wasn't incredibly flashy. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, also had 3 turnovers as well. But you saw this TCU team really facilitate an offense, and on the flip side, Matt Coleman, he continues to struggle, as well as Kerwin Roach not doing what he needs to in terms of filling it up. And so everybody other than Mo Bamba and then Eric Davis down the stretch of that game yesterday seems to be failing this team right now.
Yeah, you know, to me it's Mo Bamba and everybody else, and this team is in serious jeopardy of having a lottery player 2 years in a row and not making the tournament either time. Like, that is unacceptable to me. And TCU only had 7 scholarship players healthy on Saturday, and they just looked like they wanted it more. I mean, they had more energy from start to finish. They led from wire to wire. I mean, Texas did not have a single lead in that game against TCU. Jamie Dixon coached circles around Shaka Smart. Shaka, you know, Texas is known for its defense, right? One of the best defensive teams in the conference, and that's what Shaka Smart preaches. TCU had no issue here in Austin. I know Texas won that game, but if Jalen Fisher hits that layup at the buzzer in double overtime, those are points 99 and 100 for TCU, and they put up 87 with ease on Saturday in Fort Worth. So these games against TCU, I mean, Texas had no answer defensively. And that's the concerning thing to me because, you know, what the Longhorns have always been able to kind of put their, you know, lay their head on is the fact that they play good defense. And the offense has obviously been the issue all year long. And they go through 5 or 6 minute spurts where they're just not putting up any points, but the defense has always been there. Now, with the way they looked on Saturday, you hope it's a one-time thing, but Baylor's coming in here on a 3-game winning streak with a lot of confidence. I don't know what to expect. Like, I don't have any confidence in this Texas basketball team. We've seen them play very well against good teams, and we've seen them just look like a shell of themselves. So I don't know what to expect tonight.
Well, you're seeing teams also start to neutralize Mo Bamba on the defensive end, specifically when Texas is having to go into a man defense, which they had to do on Saturday because TCU was shooting the ball too well from the outside. All they do is they either bring Bamba's guy out to where he's forced to stand along the three-point line, or they run a pick and roll with his man. And for whatever reason, God, Texas is like the worst team in the country at defending the pick and roll. Yeah. I don't know why both guys end up sticking with the man with the basketball. It leaves somebody wide open streaking to the bucket, and whoever is off to the side that's supposed to come with the help side defense, they're slow to get over there as well. So teams are figuring out how to run their offense, even with Mo Bamba on the defensive end.
Exactly. I mean, that's I don't know if that's the coaching or what, but Mo Bamba cannot defend the pick and roll. He gets caught 30 feet away from the hoop.
It's bad.
Texas doesn't have any other rim protectors when Jericho Sims isn't on the floor, and he's nowhere close to what Mo Bamba can do. So the block numbers have gone down for Bamba. It looks like teams are starting to figure out what to do against him on the defensive end. But for me, what happened to Dylan Osetkowski, man?
I don't get it.
This guy just, I don't ever want to question a kid's desire, but he just like has no interest in banging bodies anymore. Like, why he was so good at the beginning of the year was he was posting guys up and playing physical on both ends of the floor. He played nearly the whole game. He didn't have a foul, which is concerning because TCU was just driving to the cup at ease. And at some point, Osetkowski's got to do something. But offensively, he just goes 1 of 6. And he's one of those guys who's entrusted with setting ball screens for Matt Coleman and Curlin Roach. Instead of rolling every single time, D.O. is popping to the corner looking for a three. It's like, dude, you're one of the biggest guys out there. You're 6'9", 260. Use your body to your advantage. TCU doesn't have anybody with your stature. Go down low and bang bodies with somebody. It's the last few games. He just hasn't been doing that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened to him, if he's hurt or what. But he just went from a guy who was willing to do the dirty work and get nasty down low and make things happen on the blow block to a guy who just wants to be a perimeter player. I don't know what happened. I don't know what he's doing.
This has been going on for most of conference play now, and I forget the specific game, but he was playing in a contest. I feel like it was a road contest as well, but he hit his head on the court pretty hard. He ended up out of the game for a couple minutes, came back. He hasn't been the same player since then. He may have had one good game since then, but something changed with him because at the beginning of the year, he was one of the headiest players on the court whenever he was one of the five for the Longhorns. That has changed now. Yeah. He makes bad decisions. He misses shots that he needs to make, and it seems like he is in the wrong place at the wrong time on both ends of the court, too.
Yeah, he's been a struggle. And look, without Andrew Jones, it's where's the offense going to come from? And I went back and watched the game last night. I caught Craig Way's call of it on Saturday, but I was doing bat mitzvah things in Houston. So I missed watching it live, but I watched last night, and the TV, the color guy who was with Lowell last night just said, you know, Lowell asked him, is Mo Bamba the most important player on Texas? And he's like, well, it seems to be the obvious answer, but it's not. It's Curlin Roach and Dylan Osetkowski. And we've seen the last couple of games when those dudes do not play well, which they did not against TCU and they did not against Kansas State, then Texas is kind of SOL and they got nothing. And if that's the case tonight, right, if you don't get performances from some of the role guys, hell, those dudes can't even be role players. Those are two of your best options, Snoop Roach and D.O. If you're not getting anything from them, you don't have a chance to beat anybody. And Baylor's going to come in here tonight to the drum and beat Texas by double digits.
I heard that comment during the broadcast. I had to rewatch it on Saturday. God, it hurts rewatching Texas games.
It hurts watching live, but when you know it's as bad as that one was, it's just like, God, can this thing end already, please?
I heard the color guy say that, and while I do agree with him with Curlin Roach, I disagree about Osetkowski. I think Matt Coleman is more important in terms of
getting a guy going consistently. They either need Kerwin Roach or Matt Coleman to go along with what Mo Bamba is capable of doing, and then you find a third guy. I don't have any faith that Ossetkowski is going to be that guy going forward this year. Maybe he gets his head right and he figures things out and turns into the player that we became accustomed to during conference play, or non-conference play, rather. I don't think he's that guy anymore, and I cannot figure the reason why, but I have more faith in Kerwin Roach and Matt Coleman being that second and third guy in terms of helping Mo Bamba do something on either end of the court. It's because just, even Kerwin Roach's defense on Saturday was not very good.
None of them played good defense
Nobody
on Saturday.
Nobody played good defense
Bamba
on Saturday.
Bamba was held to one block. Snoop, everybody was getting blown by on the perimeter. And, boy, I mean, 2-3 zone. You play a 2-3 zone so you don't give up buckets at the hoop or down low, and it didn't work because that's all TCU was getting on Saturday. So the Longhorns fall by 16. They're right back at it tonight, though. Big Monday, 8 o'clock, an ESPN nationally televised game. Of course, we'll have that one right here on the Horn. I don't want to call it a must win because, look, there's plenty of resume-building wins for the Longhorns, but if they lose this one, I'm telling you, I think they'll be on the outside looking into the big dance.
I don't like this matchup for Texas tonight because not only do they have the size to match up with what the Longhorns do, but you're also seeing Manu LeCompte play better over the last couple of games since they inserted Jake Lindsey into the lineup to really ease some of the ball-handling burden from LeCompte, and he was clutch down the stretch for them in their win over Kansas on Saturday, scoring 13 points in the final 7 minutes.
They played very well. 3-1 in their last four. Their only loss, a two-pointer in Norman, and they should have had that game if white boy Jake Lindsey can hit free throws down the stretch.
That's right.
Pull a scholarship. So Texas-Baylor tonight. We'll see how it goes. Not very confident. It sounds like you aren't either, Trey. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, both had some interesting weekends. We'll get into some of the stories as that, of course, still to come. Are the Cavaliers back? Unbelievable performance by them in prime time yesterday. And we'll talk some of the other happenings from the sports weekend. It's Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Hope you made it out to Hill Country Indoor on Saturday for the Saturday shows broadcasting as part of Hill Country Indoor's grand opening. Sounds like a really cool facility. I also hope that you listen to BK and Nils calling St. Stephen's and St. Andrews
on Friday.
Friday night.
That was the weirdest game I've ever called in my life. Wags, were you listening to that deal?
I heard bits and pieces. I was also doing the softball game.
So we were misinformed by parents before the game.
Misinformed about what?
So it was St. Andrews and St. Stephen's, right? We were told by a couple of St. Andrews parents that they needed to win to make the playoffs.
Oh, no.
The private school tournament. And St. Stephen's, the road team, was winning the whole game, and St. Andrews like had a nice comeback to cut it to 6 with under a minute to go. It's like 45 seconds left. St. Andrews does all this work. They cut the deficit to 6, and their coach is telling their players, like, stop fouling, like, to lay off. Like, don't foul. Like, we're good. And Nils and I are like, we're calling the game. We're like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this before. Like, they need to win to get into the playoffs. And they're down 6, and you know there's no shot clock in high school. They're just not fouling. Like, they're content with letting St. Stephen's win the game. And then with St. Stephen's, it's like dribbling around, and then some jabroni, shoots a 3 with 4 seconds left and knocks it down. So it's a 9-point game. And then the St. Andrews coach calls a timeout. Coach McCrary calls a timeout. We're like, okay, what the hell is going on? Is he about to draw up like a 10-point play? He was just waiting to see if this worked. Thankfully, one of the parents in the stands was listening to the broadcast as well, and he comes up and he's like, yeah, so St. Andrews, they either had to win or lose by 7 or less to make the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
Because point differential was a tiebreak. So we're like, oh, my God, like here's the news for you. Sorry about this on the broadcast. And that explains some stuff because we were like, okay, they cut it to 6, and they stopped trying. But they didn't want to foul because they didn't want St. Stephen's to get any more points to extend the lead to 8. Then somebody shoots a 3 on St. Stephen's to put it to 9. So St. Andrews calls the timeout. 4 seconds to go.
Have to hit a 3
right.
or a 2.
And they're going the length of the floor, and some guy pulls up from half court, and he's fouled. Foul call.
Is there a little bit of collusion
foul
going on
call.
Here?
Was that Collier that made
court.
That call?
It was Isaiah, the intern. He
called
the
foul.
Call.
Oh, we're going to have to talk
court.
To him tomorrow.
And I didn't have the best vantage point of it, but the dude hit the deck. Like, there definitely could have been some contact. And I asked him after the game. I was like, yo, Isaiah, you sure? He's like, dude, I had to call it. I didn't want to, but it was too much. So true freshman kid Jamel Cofer for St. Andrews goes to the line. He has to hit 2 of 3 to send his team to the playoffs. Cool, calm, and collected. Knocks down the first two with like 0.4 seconds left.
All right.
Everybody on St. Andrews is going nuts. So could you imagine if that parent hadn't come over to us and told us the situation, we would have been so confused. Like, okay, they're down by 7 with 0.4 left. What the hell are they freaking out about?
That's funny.
And then, so both teams were celebrating because St. Stephen's won and St. Andrews made the play. It was a mess. So if you, it's on the website. It's on our SoundCloud page. If you didn't hear, just go to the last few minutes. Or if you caught it on Friday, you probably got a laugh out of that one. It was a unique situation for sure.
That is insane.
Yeah,
man.
The weirdest basketball game I've ever called. I've only called 6, but that is by far number one on the list.
So while you were calling high school basketball and then going directly from the high school game to Houston,
yeah,
making the overnight drive, God, you had to have been tired for that.
So thankfully, my mom called and she's like, it's too foggy down here. Just stay in Houston. Don't come all the way. Don't drive that extra hour to Galveston.
Good.
So only 2.5 hours, so it was okay.
Survive. While you were doing that, Chad and I were going to see a show at the Parish, which is on Dirty Six.
Whoa!
Parish is a really cool place to see a show.
Friday night?
Yeah.
36?
I really took over your life on Friday night.
Good for you, man. It's probably the best weekend of your life.
You're going to be proud of me for once with what I am about to tell you that I ate on Friday night. We decided
Rapolos?
To start the evening off. No, not Rapolos, not Hoax. I don't know how you pronounce that, but that used to be our place back in the day, the heavy metal pizza. But we decided to start the evening out at Casino El Camino before the show that we went to see.
Nice. Guy Fieri approved.
That place is still solid.
It's the best burger in town.
All these years
it's the
later.
Best burger in town.
I'm probably a bigger fan of the thinner griddle patty.
Okay.
But for what they do, they do a solid job.
Yeah.
Fries were okay, but the burger itself, 3/4 a pound of meat.
It's a lot.
Damn, it was good.
What'd you get? You remember what you got?
What's the place called again? Sorry, boys.
Casino El Camino. It's on Dirty Six. It's open till 2. They've got a full bar, so if you're trying to go drink there. I don't recommend it, though, to start your night if you plan on drinking heavy, because it's a 3/4 pound of meat. It's a lot of food.
I wasn't planning on drinking heavy, but it did affect my ability to enjoy the music afterwards, because at first I told myself, I'm just going to eat half of this burger, but the burger was so good, I ended up eating the entire thing, as well as some of the fries. The fries were okay, but the burger itself was awesome. So you're not looking at the menu right now. You're probably not familiar with the ins and outs of the Casino El Camino menu, but there is a burger called the LA burger, like Los Angeles burger.
Oh, here we go.
That has lettuce, sprouts.
Is there any
tomato.
Meat on there? You're talking about eating 3/4 of a pound of meat and you didn't even eat the meat.
Still has 3/4 a pound of meat, also has avocado, but in your honor, I also got some bacon on top too.
Oh, mazel tov. In my honor. What, the Jews honor? You're going to get pork?
Oh, wait a
second. What does that mean?
That didn't come out right.
It's terrible, man.
So we ended up doing that, went and saw the show afterwards. We were there primarily for Anderson East, which is this blues rock sort of outfit out of Nashville. But they had an opening act by the name of J.S. Ondara. It's this Kenyan-born, Minneapolis-raised singer-songwriter. Comes out there to the stage by himself with an acoustic guitar. He killed it. I don't often describe the male singing voice as beautiful, but he has a beautiful singing voice. It's like part Tracy Chapman, part David Gray, and part JS. Did this amazing cover of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. So that really set the stage quite well. And then Anderson East came out there, and it's a very energetic show. They did a really good job with that. So that was a blast on Friday night.
There you go. Well, so I went down to Houston, stay with a buddy. But Saturday, I read from the Torah, by the way. A little bit of right-to-left Hebrew action for those of you out there.
You still remember it all these years later?
Crushed it. No, I mean, I remember how to read Hebrew, but I had to, like, memorize it and practice it a bunch so I had to make a fool of myself up in front of all those people down in H-Town. But crushed that. And then the party, right? Every bar or bat mitzvah has the service, which is when the child actually gets bar or bat mitzvah because they read from the Torah the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the transition into adulthood. There's your little Jewish nug of the day. Jews like other nugs, too. And then the party. There's a party at night. Generally, most people have for friends
that
and for family.
Yeah, that you hire Adam Sandler to come sing some songs.
I wish, man. He's too expensive. You just get the local JCC DJ and one of those dancers. You know, one of those brothers who's like a party dancer.
Like a break dancer?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just kind of gets the kids on the dance floor, and he's doing some moves and stuff like that. So the all of these bar and bat mitzvahs have a theme.
Okay.
Right, something the kid's into. So mine was at like a sleepaway camp. Save your Jew and camp jokes, all right? I've heard them all before. I was at a sleepaway camp. We like bust a bunch of kids out. My cousin and I had ours together, and it was like camp themed, right? Because it was at a summer camp, whatever. Okay. People will have like basketball or football, or girls will have, you know, dancing or acting or theater, whatever. My cousin's theme was cheese. Cheese.
Oh, yeah, you told us this on Friday.
Yeah, it was like cheese puns on the invitation about having a Gouda time and Swiss and shout and all this stuff. There was cheese everywhere, man.
I bet you enjoyed that.
Oh, it was good. Yeah, it was good cheese. Every like table had the name of a cheese. Like, I was at the goat because I'm a goat. There's like cheese balls on every table, Cheetos puffs. The cake was an actual cake, but it was in the shape of a wedge of cheese.
Okay.
There's pictures of my cousin like holding a bunch of cheese-like products, macaroni and cheese everywhere. It was like Tex-Mex for dinner with all cheese-like stuff. It's unbelievable. Thankfully, though, there was an open bar. And this was my first bar bat mitzvah as an adult. I'll tell you what, those things are a little bit more enjoyable when there's an open bar.
Was there like a cheese-infused vodka that
no,
you could drink off of?
Thankfully, it was all normal, it was beer and margaritas.
Did you have a favorite cheese that you indulged in, though? I'm sure you had at least a little bit.
Yeah, I like the cheese balls, man. They were giving away cheese balls as the raffle. Those huge tubs of Utz cheese balls mm-hmm. you get at Costco or Sam's Club.
Sure.
Giving those away. Oh, the Tex-Mex was good, man. Like cheese enchiladas and fajitas and all that stuff.
Cool,
it's top notch. So that was my time on Saturday. That ended a streak. I've had a good streak going with the ladies on 6th Street. That had to come to an end. Hanging out with a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds. No, the streak did not continue. For anybody getting thoughts in your head,
I think Bucky wants to chime in on
great.
The bar mitzvah.
What's he
up,
have
Buck?
To say?
Well, I'm a little disturbed because you know when the Asians try to. Crashing on your intramural games.
Why are you bringing up the Asians again, man? Well, what do they do?
So, I don't know. But what's your deal? So you Jewish people invite black people to get the kids out on the floor to dance at the bar mitzvah? What are they, the court jesters or something? Are they?
I'm glad the court you said
something. Got to invite black people?
There's other black people there, man.
Yeah,
this guy just happened to be black, and he was getting the kids out to dance.
That's a weird hire to make, Buck. I agree with you.
The brothers
it just
are.
It didn't sound right. He just said, we get the black guy to come. I mean, do you hire a black guy to come to your bar mitzvahs so to get the kids to dance?
Yeah, some people do that, man. We pay them.
Oh, my God.
It's clean.
Oh, my God. It just sounds horrible out here in the airwaves.
You're the one who's talking about getting on the back of a motorcycle or a horse with another dude and reaching around his belt loops for security. What are you talking about sounding horrible over the airwaves?
Oh, my God. I can't get over you and over the last couple of weeks and how you just tangle things up for people.
Oh, man, it's clean.
Help the people understand. Why can't we just get along? We don't only dance. You know, we do other things.
You guys are better dancers than the white guys.
Yeah,
it's maybe a stereotype or a generalization, but I feel like I feel pretty confident in saying that. No,
hire the black guy to read the Torah or something. You know, he doesn't always have
we've
to be
had
hired
that
to
before.
Sing or dance.
Oh, we've had brothers read the Torah before.
Who, Rod Carew?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
All right, I gotta go.
Get
gotta
out of here, man.
Bye.
All right, Buck. There he goes. I don't know how to follow that up. So that was my weekend.
Buck got bullied out of his Frank Gore stance, his Hall of Fame stance earlier.
No kidding,
and now
man.
he's still reeling from that.
Boy, if he thinks that was a little bit offensive, he's gonna see my whole skin like half black tomorrow after I get this spray tan. He's gonna have a real tough time with that one, man.
I'm really looking forward to this
Jeez.
After the show.
All right, anything else for you on the weekend? We just we put weekend stories on the note card. We let y'all know we were going to jack around a little bit this segment.
Well, I had a couple instances of going out to eat and my order being wrong.
Oh.
And this started out on Friday, and we actually told this on the afternoon show. KD and I went and grabbed lunch at Taco Deli after our meeting here ended. So we went over there, and we know Brady. Brady's a listener of the station. He handles catering over at Taco Deli.
He doesn't like me very much, man.
Why not?
Because I put Taco D on blast sometimes since they're not a sponsor.
Oh, okay.
This thing's a little bit overrated.
Yeah, you're not the biggest fan of Taco Deli. It's cool to each their own.
Brady's cool, though. Like him.
Brady's good people, and I love Taco Deli. I have no problem talking about why I love that place, including the fact that they have a very efficient ordering system. You give them your order. They read it back to you before they charge you anything, and then they read it again to you when they bring you your food. So Kevin and I order separately. We're both at the register at the same time. But as I'm placing my order, Kevin starts talking with the guy who's helping him about Brady. And he was trying to remember what exactly Brady did there. And so as my cashier was reading my order back, I was distracted in the conversation that they were having to let him know what exactly Brady does at Taco Deli. So in the 300 times that I've gone to Taco Deli, I don't think one time they've ever read the order back to me incorrectly. They always get the order right the first time through, but it's good to be thorough like that.
Sure,
right?
Love it.
So I wasn't paying attention, and I just assumed the order was right, and I said yes. End up going and sitting down. They bring my tacos out first.
Oh.
Again, they read the order off. I'm mid-conversation with Kevin, so I say yes. Then they place the order in front of me, and I see that there are black beans all over these tacos. Now,
they
I like Taco
Deli's.
I like Taco Deli's black
Bucky
beans.
Bucky about to call you back and say why the beans got to be black, man.
I like Taco Deli's African-American beans as much as the next man, but they smother their tacos when you put black beans on them. And I didn't order black beans to begin with. So I start to get up to go say, hey, actually the order is wrong. But then I realize I have now messed my part of this whole process up twice.
It's your fault.
So I just have to eat it. Figuratively and literally, I just have to eat this order.
Did you scrape the beans off?
I tried to. It was too much of a mess. I'm telling you, they put entirely too much black beans on their tacos. So I sit back down. Kevin's like, what's going on? I'm like, they got my order wrong. He's like, well, just go tell them, and I'm sure they'll make it right. I'm like, I can't do that because I screwed up also. They have the most efficient system in all of Austin.
Blew it.
So I have an issue here. Well, Kevin ends up calling the manager over. The manager's like, I'm happy to fix this for you. I'm like, dude.
You couldn't take care of your own problem by yourself?
I had
to get babysitter KD to do it for you?
I didn't want to.
Jeez.
I needed to be the person to eat that
mistake.
I
was the millennial on this show, man.
I had to eat the mistake. I didn't want them to have to put more work in because I was the one at fault here. So Kevin calls him over. I insist that, no, please do not get me any more tacos. This is just the way it is. So Kevin eats his tacos. The manager comes back over at one point. He's like, look, dude, I really want to get you more tacos. So he sits down, writes down my order. I'm incredibly apologetic the entire time. They end up bringing the tacos out. And according to Brady, that's how they teach their employees and management to always make sure that the customer leaves satisfied. I wasn't dissatisfied, but I go there enough to know that I screwed up there. I don't deserve more tacos because of it, because that's costing them money. It's costing them a little bit of labor as well, but they still made it right. So thank you to Taco Deli for that.
I might try that, man. Just like intentionally screw up my order and say, no, you got it wrong. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what he said on the talkback.
Great customer service at Taco Deli. They'll have no problem doing so. Same goes for Via 313. We went to get pizza last night at Via 313. I put my convoluted, complex, stupid order in.
Spinach.
They read it back to me, but my pizza comes out, and it has something on the pizza that I definitely did not order that she read back very clearly, and I was paying attention this time. So at this point, I'm like, damn it, I'm either about to not eat dinner tonight, eat this with something that I clearly do not want on my pizza.
What was it?
Or tomato sauce. Or.
You, what? It's pizza. What do you mean? You don't want sauce?
I'm not a big fan of tomato sauce on my pizza.
What sauce do you put on there?
If I have the option, a little bit of garlic and olive oil.
You don't get sauce on the za?
Ew, seriously?
It's like
so gross.
It's like a white pizza base.
Right.
Why's it got to be white?
Jeez,
I know it's the next question
man,
some of you are going to ask.
Why are you not putting sauce on a pizza? It's crust, sauce, and cheese. Those are the foundational elements.
When you crush up and cook tomato, it creates an acidity that just causes my weak system problems.
Sorry,
anyhow, there's
there.
Tomato sauce all over this pizza, so I have to call the waitress over and say, I am so sorry to be this person, but I ordered no sauce. You told me no sauce, and there's sauce on this pizza. She's like, I am so sorry. We'll get this fixed immediately. Comes back over later to tell me, hey, it'll be 5 minutes. I'm like, again, I want to apologize. I really do hate being that person. Her response to me is, you and your family are literally some of the nicest people who come in here. You have young kids. You always like clean up the mess that they make on the ground afterwards. You don't require us to do that. You always tip us well. You're very generous. So know that we're not upset with you over this. You asked for something, we read it back that way, and somebody in the kitchen screwed up. So
is that the whole point of this story, to just tell everyone how great of a guy you are?
Well, I'm not usually a good guy, but when it comes to customer service, I try and be a good guy, especially places that we go consistently.
Nice.
So thanks to Kevin's insistence that I go through something on Friday, it helped me out later in the weekend. And by the way, when Kevin brought that manager over, it brought me back, and tell me if you ever had to deal with this before when you were a kid, when you would go out for your birthday dinner with your family and they would tell the waiter that it's your birthday, and then the entire wait staff would come over and sing you happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That was so embarrassing for me as a kid. Those same feelings flushed over my face when Kevin brought the manager over, but it was because I had done something stupid and I hated having to admit that to him.
You should not have told me that, because now next time we're getting food together, I'm telling somebody it's your birthday.
That doesn't bother me.
We do that to one of my buddies. Like, no, Texas OU is a big fraternity weekend.
Yeah.
And we'd always, we'd Friday night, right before the game, we'd go to these nice dinners with our dates.
Gosh.
There's like 100 people there. And we would always just tell one of the waiters that it was this dude's birthday. He'd get so pissed off. He'd bring out a cake. We'd all start singing. He'd get so mad. So I'm going to start doing that to you. It's good stuff.
But otherwise, it was a really good weekend with the family.
36th, man.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
When we were walking down Dirty Sixth, especially after the concert was over with at 11:30, for a split second, I was trying to look around to see where you were, and then I'm like, ah, damn it, I forgot. He's driving to Houston right now, the one weekend.
I would have avoided you like the plague.
Rob, that's true,
trying
too.
Trying to spit some game out there. You ain't going to help. All right, we're overdue for a break. When we come back, we'll get back into sports. How about the Cavaliers putting on a show on primetime yesterday? We'll discuss whether or not they're the favorites in the East. There's a new number one seed as well in the Eastern Conference, and also Rockets, man. Can the Rockets really take down Golden State? We'll get into all that next. Midday with Trey and PK. This is The Horn.
All right, final segment of the 10 o'clock hour for Midday with Trey and BK. Was that Primus coming out of the break? Any particular reason why?
Sailing the Sea of Cheese. It was a cheese-themed
nice.
Bar mitzvah.
Well done, Wags.
Thought it was because it's Abraham Lincoln's 209th birthday. That dude was pretty prime as a president.
Yeah, he might smell like some stale, potent cheese right about now.
Oh, guys.
Anyone ever ask
dark here.
Not John Wilkes Booth. That's the guy who killed him. Mary Todd, how the rest of the play was. What were they seeing, man? Anyone ever talk about that? We need details to this story. What was the theater show? What was going on there?
I'm sure we can find out those details.
Do they keep the show going? Like, if I'm a member of the audience, I still want to see the rest of the damn show.
No, the show becomes the president has just been shot.
Okay, that's already happened. It's in the past. Let me get my money's worth for the ticket. Right? I don't think that's being insensitive. He's already dead. That sucks. I wish he didn't get shot. That dude was the homie. But he's already dead. I'm here. I paid a lot of money for these front row seats. What the hell's going on in the show?
I feel like being part of one of the most significant events in this country's history is worth the price of admission.
Hey, you saw a dude die, though. Like, that kind of sucks. You didn't pay for that. You paid to see a theatrical performance. A show.
That dude was the homie. I'm sorry he's dead.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln.
He was, man. He's one of the best presidents of all time. He's got to be in your Mount Rushmore. He is.
He's got to be your Mount Rushmore of presidents.
Oh, nice. He's got to be, though, right? Him, George Washington. Thomas Jefferson had some ideologies that not everybody believes in, but he made some plays. I mean, he wrote the Declaration. Louisiana Purchase doubled the size of the states. That dude made some things happen with his life.
Are you saying that, like, a terrorist attack occurs at a music venue when a concert is going on, that people should just go back to the venue once that's over and done with?
No, you're already there. You just stay in the venue and keep watching the movie.
All right.
You don't got to stop the whole movie. One guy dies, but the guy already runs away, so the scene is left. The actors have fled the stage, if you will. Like, John Wilkes Booth had already left the theater.
We are in a bad place right now.
I think this is a great place.
All right.
It's a fair debate on Abe Lincoln's birthday.
I miss
that guy, man.
Look.
Good dude.
Once Abe is shot like that, even if he's not killed, the play is stopped for the night. Perhaps there's a refund.
Okay, maybe you take a little intermission and you ask the people, okay, so those of you who are depressed because our president was just assassinated, We will not continue the show, but if you would like to stay, we will continue where we left off.
Maybe the more valid question here is, at what point does that play resume? Because you have that hanging over the play itself, the fact that the president was shot and ultimately died right while watching that play.
Okay, well, you take a 10-minute intermission. Everybody can go buy some candy, some popcorn, refill their bottomless sodas.
You take the night off. People either get refunds or they can cash the ticket in for the next time this play occurs.
Well, I'm a man of the people, man. I'm a man of the people. I'm just trying to give show everybody a good time, right?
So if somebody walked through this door right here and shot me,
yeah,
how long would you stop the show for?
Well, our next commercial break's about 4 minutes.
When you're coming,
we got a show to do.
Go to commercial.
No, we got a show to do, man.
Trey's just been linking.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, people still want to hear their stuff, man.
That's true.
All right. Let's talk some sports.
You guys really want me to go to commercial?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. All right.
It feels like this show was just shot by this last topic.
Come on. It's a great topic. It's a great debate. NBA yesterday. Trey, we've had this debate many times, and last week you actually asked, would you bet on Cleveland over Boston to make the NBA Finals? And I'm still going with Cleveland, but I keep losing bets to you. I'm getting a damn spray tan today, so I was a little hesitant to pull the trigger on that. But yesterday, Cleveland goes into Boston and just dominates. Pretty much from the second quarter on, they beat up on the Celtics, 121-99 the final. They ruined Paul Pierce's jersey hanging retirement night. LeBron goes off. He goes for 24, 10, and 8, but it's the new-look Cavs. 12 points for George Hill. Larry Nance added 5 points. Jordan Clarkson with 17 off the bench. Rodney Hood with 15 off the bench. So those four new pieces for Cleveland sort of rejuvenated, re-energized LeBron and the rest of the Cavs. I said energized. They look happy. They look like they were having fun out there, which for the past couple months, it's looked like it's been a chore playing basketball for this Cleveland team. Of course, it's one game. They're still in third place in the East, and I don't know if they have enough time to make up the ground on Boston or Toronto for the top two seeds. But with what you saw yesterday, short sample size, are you back in on Cleveland a little bit?
Clearly, things are better than what they were a month ago, like you just said. Look, George Hill did a great job offensively, working primarily out of the corner, also helping with LeBron on pick and rolls at times. But the primary reason he is in there is for the sake of defense. And Kyrie Irving, although he had 18 points, he was 1 of 7 from three-point land. Also did a good job on Marcus Morris and Jason Tatum at times, just to show how flexible he is as a defensive player. Jordan Clarkson, look, he is a hit or miss player on the offensive end. He was hitting from deep last night, so you're getting the best case scenario out of him. And George Hood, he is the drive and dish guy who is receiving the basketball and shooting from deep. He did his thing as well, very much like J.R. Smith in that regard. So all the new pieces, Larry Nance Jr. included, having a couple of nice defensive plays as well as finishing with the 4 to 5 points. They did their jobs last night. That's to be expected early on in this marriage. It's what happens when this group deals with a little bit of turmoil, because it's bound to happen throughout an NBA season. And I realize we're more than halfway through things right now, but what happens with these guys when they go through the inevitable turmoil? I just don't know just yet.
Yeah, we're in wait-and-see mode. I like LeBron, man. He finds his way, so I'm still leaning with Cleveland. But, of course, one game. We'll see how it goes. By the way, Boston fell out of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference with that
loss.
They've
been struggling recently.
And I mentioned it wasn't to Cleveland, it's to Toronto. I think you're like me. I'd give Boston a better chance over Toronto to come out of the East this year. But the Raptors having a hell of a season. They're 23-4 at Air Canada Center north of the border. So if they are the one seed in the East, that home court advantage could be huge because they've been dominant there. But we'll wait and see. In the West, Houston beats Dallas last night, 104-97. I will give the Mavs a little bit of credit. No Dirk, no Wes Matthews, no J.J. Barea, no Salah Mejri, and they covered the spread. That does anything. I mean, that's what the Mavs are, and they're tanking. They lost. It was an all-around good day for Dallas. But Houston moves back
win,
within.
Great teams cover, right?
Exactly. Houston moves back within a half game of Golden State. Now, Golden State's still a prohibitive favorite in this league, and I still think most people assume they're going to be the one seed, but look, the Rockets have won 8 in a row, 12 of 13. I mean, they've only lost one time this year when Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella all play in a game. February 12th, right before the All-Star break. Any chance Houston can represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals this year?
No.
Still Golden State.
Yeah, and part of that is Golden State, but part of it is also Mike D'Antoni's style. I just don't know how well that works in the playoffs. We've seen him get to an NBA Finals before, but for the most part, this is a style that that you are able to overcome when you're talking about the best teams of the league. Now, Houston has been good against the best this year, so you also have to look at that as well, but I just don't have faith in the system doing things come game time in the playoffs.
They are 2-1 against Golden State this year. Season series is done. And the only game the Rockets lost, James Harden did not play. So interesting nuggets right there. But I'm with you. It's still Golden State's league and everybody else is kind of running around.
And the other thing, too, is Chris Paul. What Chris Paul shows up in the playoffs?
I have faith in Chris Paul. Chris Paul's numbers in the playoffs have always been good. Now, the knock on him, and rightfully so, he hasn't been able to get past the second round. Never made it to the conference finals. But that hasn't been because Chris Paul has not been good. I think with James Harden, look, we'll see what Spurs show up. Right now the Spurs are the 3 seed, so that'd be the likely second round matchup. If they have Kawhi Leonard, they're obviously a different team. Without Kawhi, it's going to be probably pretty quick work for Houston. But no, I think they'll at least get to the conference finals this year.
You're probably right about that. And the other thing Chris Paul has working to his advantage is even though his numbers have been good in the postseason with the Clippers, being the primary ball handler like he was, you're also responsible for making sure your teammates are in the proper position to win games. He doesn't have to worry as much about that this year with James Harden by his side.
And he's got Oscar from The Office as his new State Farm agent, so there you go.
Boy, those commercials are old already.
Suck, yeah. All right, we're taking a break. We're way overdue for it. When we come back, we'll get back into some of the other sports stories of the day. Yu Darvish has a new team and is not in the state of Texas. Astros looking to potentially make another trade to bolster up their starting lineup for 2018. And we'll talk about this bet payoff that we got to do after the show today. I'm looking forward to that. It's all coming up midday with Trey and PK. This is The Horn.